Testimony concerning Sister Haskell, June 28, 1898. All who are led by the Spirit of God will treat with deference and respect the opinions of others, even as they would have their own opinions respected. Sister Haskell, your mind is not the only mind that the Lord has accepted through which to work to carry forward the school work. During the week of prayer, the time of the students should have been given to the Lord. No other study but that of the Bible should have been carried on. The students should have had no other studies placed upon them, and a special work should have been done in making this week a season of prayer and supplication to God. This might have been done if objectionable features had not been presented, which will always come up on such occasions. When meetings were considered of sufficient importance to be held in the chapel, teachers and students should have considered it their duty to regard them as above any common studies, and that which they would gain in such meetings would more than compensate for the loss in their other studies. Every teacher and student present at the school needs to have opportunity to seek God, and by them, the week of prayer should have been made a season of earnest seeking for that wisdom which comes from above. On such an occasion as this, the customary routine is to be laid aside, and every advantage to be taken to search the heart and examine self. Teachers and students should assemble, not in the school chapel, but in the church, where they can conveniently kneel and where they can bear their testimonies. If the morning meetings had been attended by teachers and as many students as possible, God would have been honored. But wise calculations were not made on these points, and the precious blessings that might have been received were not obtained. Every message that the Lord has His servants bear on such occasions, it is right that God's people should make earnest efforts to hear. These messages leave their impression on the minds of the hearers that God has a blessing for them. Their prayers should mingle with the prayers of those who have faith, those who believe the exceeding great and precious promise that they may perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. There must be no separating the church from the school. The church was erected for the school. How are we to advance spiritually is the question of greatest importance. How may we know individually that God is in us of a truth? When we individually receive the earnest of the inheritance, when we are individually led by the Spirit of God, and walk in all humility of mind. When we walk in love as dear children, with subdued heart, crying unto God, "Teach me thy way." When we listen for every whisper of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will carry our minds to a higher, holier standard, where self is merged in Christ. There are two classes of persons whose example is profitable to this world. They are those who serve God with all the heart and mind and strength because they know Him to be their wisdom, their righteousness, and their sanctification. And those who are seeking Him with all the heart because they would know Him whom to know aright is life eternal. It is not enough to receive the theory of the truth. It is to be planted in the heart of teachers as well as students. It is to control the mind and regulate the affections. Take the truth from the sacred pages where God Himself has placed it and eat it as the bread of life. Stamp the whole character with its divine utterances. Its deep meaning is to be searched out. When the Word of God is eaten, its life-giving power is seen in the assimilation of the truth. Every jot and tittle is brought into the daily practice. This we all need to do. Many keep truth in the outer court and do not bring it in to warm the heart. The students need to understand these things. They need a special work done for them, and this God alone can do. And He will do this work for them if they will receive the Holy Spirit. But the work that needs to be done first is with the teachers. They must be one. There must be unity in spirit and in action. Sister Haskell, Your mind and judgment is not to be the mind and judgment independent of your associates. The Lord has never designed that it should be thus, and you cannot meet the standard of God unless you bear in mind that you are to be one among others to counsel. Your judgment is to be one among the judgment of other minds. You are to take your fellow workers with you and regard their judgment as of some value. Through your entire life, you have rather encouraged a preference to differ from others. The judgment of others is not to be discarded as of no value. But the matter which makes me feel the necessity of writing to you is the influence which you are having upon your husband. You lead him to suppose that the reasoning of Sister Haskell is superior to the reasoning of any other individual, and to consider her judgment as preferably to any opinions that may be offered. The mind and judgment of Sister Haskell is becoming too much of an independent power. Elder Haskell sees that the ideas of his brethren do not coincide with those of his wife, and this is separating him from his brethren. This matter is wearing upon your husband's mind. He has been suspicious of his brethren, and this has been the bane of his life. He has supposed that things exist which have not existed except in his own imagination. The Lord has given me many testimonies to correct these ideas and impressions. God would not have these suspicions ready to spring into life at the least provocation, for they will separate him from his brethren, and his fellow workers will be afraid to connect with him, the more so because of the strength of the will and supposed superior judgment of Sister Haskell. Unity of mind must be preserved. It is necessary that our opinions harmonize. Brother Haskell needs all the affection and cooperation that his brethren can give him. If council meetings are an affliction to him because the judgment of his brethren conflicts with the opinions of his wife, a burden will come upon him that will cut him off from his brethren. God designs that his brethren shall be in harmony with his judgment, unbiased by the opinions of his wife. Sister Haskell must not be looked to as a god. Her opinion must not be regarded as the word of God. She has excellent qualifications, but there is too much exalting of her own opinion as entirely correct. This reveals the spirit of self-exaltation, and the Lord is not pleased with it. He would have his people depend more upon him for instruction and spiritual knowledge. He would have every mind daily worked by the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants his spirit to take possession of heart and character and life. Zacharias, when full of the Holy Ghost, speaks of Christ's advent into the world in the gracious character of the instructor of those who were lying in gross darkness. He would call forth our highest exaltation of Christ by viewing him as our dayspring.